Hi there, my name is Njerim Bogwa, and I'm the host of Crime and Consequence KE, a true crime podcast where we tell the life stories of our victims, who they were, what happened to them, and why they still matter. Welcome to another episode of Crime and Consequence KE, and today's case is very interesting, and I'm hoping that you guys will also find it to be interesting. And it's a bit different from the other cases that we've done before. I don't think I've done a case that ends like this before. And it really shows you just how incompetent the police can be. And Let's just get into it. Let's just get into the case, and then we're going to talk about everything after. Our players this week are Timothy Mwaniki, the victim, and Charles Gitonga, our accused person. And this story takes place on February 21st, 2020, in Kigumo sublocation, Kini East location in Embu County. So this was just pre-COVID, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Kenya and the whole COVID thing may have started like around March, if I'm not wrong, because I do remember still going to work. Well, actually, I worked that whole year of COVID. I was never technically under lockdown, because I was a journalist at that time and we had the special pass to be outside. But anyway, Timothy walks into Bum Bum Hotel, which is where Charles works, and he buys a piece of meat. Don't ask me what a piece of meat means. And a piece of meat is valued at 20 bob. And after he eats it, there's a bit of a confrontation between Timothy and Charles, because Timothy doesn't want to pay the 20 bob for the piece of meat that he just bought and ate. And so this causes just a small confrontation between the two of them. And because they're inside a hotel, other customers kind of chime in. And everybody is telling Timothy, just pay the money. We've seen you eat the meat. Just pay them. So this small confrontation happens, and Timothy does end up paying the 20 shillings, and then he leaves the hotel. After he leaves the hotel, the court documents were not very specific, or it seems that nobody really investigated this part to find out what happened. So Timothy has walked out of Bum Bum Hotel. He's left Charles at the butchery station still working. He leaves the hotel. Something happens. We don't know what happens, but another commotion involving Timothy starts outside again. And this time the commotion attracts a crowd of people, and it gets really bad because now the crowd is forming and there's chaos that's happening. That the owner of the hotel, was identified as Dixon Jerry Jeremiah, was informed that, hey, there are people fighting outside of the hotel. Come look at it. In his testimony, Dixon states that he went outside to check what was happening, but he said that the scuffle really didn't seem to be happening in his place of business. It seemed to be happening away from his place of business. And so he really didn't bother to go and investigate. He just went outside, checked what was happening, and then went back inside. But he stated that among the crowd of people that he saw during that commotion was Charles Gitonga. So Dixon ignores whatever was happening and he goes back into his office, only to be later informed that somebody had been killed. And by the time he goes out from his office again to now be like, let me now go see, because if somebody has died, this is serious. He states that Charles had already returned to his workplace and the commotion had ended. So after Dixon is informed that somebody has died, he decides to call the police and inform them what he has been told. But he says that he does not get any feedback from them. All right. So after this second commotion that we don't know what caused it, why it started, or what was being argued, or is commoted a word? I don't think that. Anyway, so after this commotion ends and things start to cool down, Timothy is seen lying on the ground and he has a stab wound to his chest. All right, now here's where things got confusing for me, because I really couldn't understand if the commotion that was outside at that time Dixon was being called was because Timothy had already been stabbed and he was lying there and people were trying. You know the way in Kenya when something happens, when an accident happens, people don't really come out to help you. They just come and form a really big crowd around you. You know, and people start recording, people start talking. So I'm wondering, is that what the commotion was? That there was a body of somebody lying there and they had been stabbed? Or was Timothy arguing with somebody who we don't know who, and then he got stabbed, and then that's what it's not clear. I can't really be sure of how he died, but we do know that he went to the hotel, he bought a piece of meat for 20 bob, which I'm guessing was mutura. Let's just say he bought some mutura for 20 bob. He didn't want to pay for his mutura, but he eventually paid. He leaves the hotel, he leaves Charles inside, he goes outside. It doesn't seem to take a long time, but after this, we're told there's another commotion outside. We don't know what causes this commotion, we don't know what happened, we don't know who's fighting, we don't know why, we don't know anything. All we know is that after this commotion ends, there's a huge crowd of people. Charles is said to be in that crowd of people, and after it cools down, Timothy is on the ground and he's been stabbed in the chest and he's dead. So after things cool down, Timothy is lying on the ground and he has a stab wound to his chest. There's a witness that, and they really didn't go deep into who this witness was or who spoke to him, or they didn't identify this witness. The court documents just said that one witness described the place where Timothy was found as being behind the hotel where the grass grew. So, and this again confused me, because if you read the accounts of what had happened, it seemed that the commotion was happening just in front of Dixon's, of Bam Bam Hotel, that it was happening in front of the hotel. So how Timothy got from the front of the hotel to now the back of the hotel with a stab wound is baffling to me. So at this time, when Timothy found, Amit Venda, who was identified as Benford Karioki Nyagaisa, told the court that he was riding his motorcycle when somebody stopped him and asked him if he could help carry an injured person to the hospital. When Benford approached the injured person, he saw that he was bleeding from his chest. So Benford and this good Samaritan, they put Timothy on the back of the motorcycle and they take him to hospital. So the first place they took him was Kigumo Modern Health Center, but at Kigumo they were referred to Kieni Hospital. And the distance between the Modern Health Center and Kieni Hospital was about 8 kilometers. And during this whole time that Timothy is being taken from place to, like, from Bam Bam to Kigumo to Kieni, nothing is being done about his bleeding. He's still really, really bleeding. There's no indication that even at the Modern Health Center, they did anything to try and stop the bleeding. It seems that they just saw that this person had been stabbed and they're like, there's nothing we can do for you, just take him to hospital. So after dropping off Timothy at the hospital, Benford, who's the meat vendor, was requested to go and get Timothy's mother, which he did. But unfortunately, by the time that Timothy's mother was getting to Kieni Hospital, she was informed that Timothy had already passed away. Benford testified that he did not follow up on what happened to Timothy after he dropped his mother off. And during cross-examination, he clarified that he had not seen Charles stab Timothy. By the time he got there, Timothy had already been stabbed. So at around 6:30 p.m., Sergeant Robert Mwaniki Kusieka of Kigumo Police Post in Runyenges receives a call from Dixon Njeru. Dixon informs him that Charles had stabbed Timothy and Timothy is dead. When the sergeant gets to the hotel, he finds that Charles is working, but he doesn't find Timothy but this time Timothy has already been taken to hospital. So they question Charles, they're like, we're told somebody had died here and you're the last person who's seen them and you had been seen in a confrontation. They question him about 3 times before they finally arrest him and take him to the station for questioning. Another sergeant, identified as Sergeant Samuel Enyamasi of DCI Embu East, went to Kieni Mission Hospital mortuary where he found Timothy's body. And then after he confirmed that Timothy had indeed died, he proceeded to the crime scene. And at the crime scene, one of Charles's co-workers, who was identified as Francis Nganga, gave him a knife and he told him, so Francis tells Samuel that this is the knife that Charles had used to stab Timothy. And the reason, because the knife was clean, and he says the reason why the knife doesn't have any blood on it is because allegedly, after stabbing Timothy, Charles had gone back, washed the knife, and continued to use it at the butchery. So Francis says that this is the knife that Charles allegedly used to stab Timothy, and the reason why it doesn't have any blood stains on it is because he washed it and he just continued cutting meat at the butchery. For whatever reason, this particular sergeant, Samuel Nyamasi of DCI, he decides that he won't take the knife from Francis because, I mean, if it's already been cleaned, then there's really no need to take it for analysis because he said that it did not have any blood stains on it. And now, listen, I'm going to give my opinion again here. I think that it was a bad move not to take that knife for a forensic analysis because just because the knife appears not to have any blood stains on it doesn't mean that every single bit of forensic evidence had been completely wiped clean from that knife. You know, there's so many things that they could have analyzed from that one piece of evidence to even try and establish. Because if somebody stabs you, there is an entry wound, right? And they could have analyzed if the nature of the wound matched up to the knife that they were being given. That would have been one very easy way to either prove that Francis was telling the truth or rule out Charles as, or just even rule out the knife as being the murder weapon. Eventually, the case is taken over by Corporal Lillian Kajuju, who visited the crime scene 5 days after the fact. And this was also when crime scene photos were taken 5 days after Timothy had been stabbed and died. And they also went and took images of his body 5 days after he had died. And I don't know if it's just me who's seen too much CSI, but I think that it really kind of beats the purpose of collecting evidence if you're gonna go to the crime scene 5 days after the fact, especially because I highly doubt that this particular hotel had been shut down because of this, because remember, the crime did not happen inside the hotel, it happened outside the hotel. So if the hotel is still open and active and operational, it means that your crime scene has been contaminated 100 times over because so many people have come and gone. So like, it didn't make sense to me for you to come and take evidence photos five whole days. That was crazy to me. So anyway, they go they take these crime scene photos, they photograph Timothy's body, and then after they do this, a post-mortem is conducted. So at this point in the investigation, the cops, they believe they have their man. You know, because they were told that Timothy was arguing with Charles and Charles is the one who stabbed Timothy. So they completely believe that they have the person who did this in custody, because Charles is in custody at this time. And so the police are going around and they're trying to talk to his co-workers and just trying to get an idea of what happened. What was interesting, though, is despite the fact that, remember the Francis guy who gave the police the knife and said that it's the knife that Charles had used to stab Timothy? Despite that, all of Charles's co-workers, they refused to cooperate with the police and go to court and say that Charles is the one who had stabbed Timothy. Like, none of them. And that was, again, that was just a weird... Everybody except Charles's boss, Dixon. Dixon is the only person who testified for the prosecution. But all of Charles's other co-workers refused to testify for the prosecution and say that Charles had indeed stabbed Timothy, which again was weird. This whole story has been, for me at least, it's been weird and confusing, and I feel like there are very key pieces of information that are missing, and I kind of want to blame the police because it is their job to investigate and fill in all the dots and find the answers. But I just feel like the police were so lazy in this case because they thought it would be just very open and shut, you know. So yeah. So the postmortem is conducted by Dr. Moses Miner, and he observed that there was a 2-centimeter deep cut on the right side of the peristernum area between the 6th and the 9th ribs caused by a sharp object. He also observed that Timothy's 7th and 8th ribs had been broken and he had deep lacerations on the right side of the lungs and massive bleeding. He had about 2.5 liters of blood in his chest cavity. So the doctor concluded that the cause of death was chest injury associated with internal bleeding caused by a stab wound. He stated that the wound was most likely caused by a knife or a short spear. After the prosecution presents all this evidence, the court finds that Charles has a case to answer and he's placed on the defense. In his defense, Charles stated that Timothy came in, asked him for a piece of meat, which I still think is mutura, ate the meat, and he refused to pay. However, other, as I've said before, other customers joined in when they were having the little back and forth, and they urged him to pay the 20 bob, which he did, and he left the hotel. After he left the hotel, Charles says that he had a distress call from outside. And when he went to check, he found a crowd of people had gathered. He decides not to pay too much attention to what is happening. So he just comes, peeks, and that's when Dixon must have seen him. And then decides, you know, maybe I still have a job to do. Let me get back to work. At around 2 p.m., police come back to his place of work and they question him about the fight that he had with Timothy, who was now deceased. Charles told them that they had not fought. He was annoyed because Timothy came in, asked for meat. He was given the meat. Then he refused to pay for the meat. But he paid his bill. And as much as Charles was annoyed, he did not stab him. He got the 20 bob that he wanted and he continued doing his work. And according to Charles, the police came to the hotel 3 times before they arrested him and took him to Runyanja's police station. The defense called 2 witnesses who were eating at the hotel that Friday. One was identified as John Jirun Jagi, and he stated that on the day of the incident, he was having lunch at Bam Bam. As he was eating, he heard some noise outside, and when he went to check, he found a crowd surrounding somebody. And he really didn't try and also find out what was happening or who that somebody was. He just went outside, so there's a crowd, and they were surrounding somebody, and then he just decided to mind his own business and go back to eating. He testified that the person who served him lunch that day was Charles, and the whole time that he was there, he had not seen any fight between Charles and Timothy. The second witness was identified as Alfred Morevi, and he said that he was taking soup at Bam Bam Hotel when he heard noise outside the hotel. When he went to check, he saw somebody lying down with his hands on his stomach. And he states that the whole time that this was happening, the commotion outside, Charles was inside the hotel and he was working, all right? And he also states that he did not witness any commotion between Charles and Timothy inside the hotel. And he also states that between the hotel and the place where Timothy was lying down was about 5 meters, but he did not see Charles arguing with Timothy. So to further his defense, Charles stated that none of the prosecution witnesses had seen him actually stabbing Timothy, and therefore any evidence that they produced was baseless and unsubstantiated. He added that even the knife that was the alleged murder weapon had no consequence to the case because it had not been tested for any DNA. There's no forensic analysis that had been done on that knife. So there's no way that you can just produce this knife as evidence without doing anything to try and link it to the crime and expect us to believe that it's the murder weapon because you said or because somebody told you that it was the murder weapon. He finished his defense by saying that it was impossible for him to have both been inside the hotel working and outside the hotel fighting with Timothy at the time that he was stabbed. He maintains that he was inside the hotel, he was working, he did go outside briefly to try and see what was causing the commotion, but he decided to go back inside. And so he says that he's not the one who stabbed Charles, and he's not the one who stabbed Timothy, and he does not know who or why Timothy was stabbed. Let's go to the judgment. The case was heard before Judge Ellen Njuguna at the High Court in Embu. The judge noted that from the prosecution's evidence, there was no direct link between the murder and the accused. He added that according to sections 107 and 109 of the Evidence Act, the burden of proof lies with the prosecution, and in this case, the standard of proof is beyond reasonable doubt. Basically meaning that the prosecution has the responsibility of coming and presenting their case and completely removing any doubt that there could have been anybody else but Charles who would have committed this crime. He said, and I quote, "At no point does this burden shift to the accused person, and the courts are cautioned about this. There is no direct evidence that the death of the deceased was caused by the accused. The circumstantial evidence also fails to establish a very strong chain of events proving this element. In my view, the circumstantial evidence creates a disjointed chain of events that creates reasonable doubts as to whether the accused indeed committed the offense. It is unfortunate that the eyewitnesses refused to testify in this case. In the end, I find that the prosecution has failed to prove the case against the accused beyond any reasonable doubt. He's hereby acquitted of the charge." So Charles was acquitted of the murder of Timothy on December 13th, 2023, about 3 years after the fact. And I couldn't find any information about the police ever found who Timothy's actual killer was. And yeah, unfortunately, that is the story of Timothy Moniki. And to be completely honest with you, this story confused me at every turn. I feel that A, there's somebody who's lying somewhere. There's somebody who's lying about the chain of events. There's somebody who's lying about what happened that afternoon. Somebody's not telling the truth, because they're very big, they're very huge chunks of information that are missing. So I do think that between Charles and Dixon and the police and even the defense witnesses, I feel like somebody is lying. Somebody's covering something up, because there's no way that you're going to tell me that a whole crowd of people had gathered around this person and not one of them saw Timothy being stabbed. Because it's not like him being stabbed happened like 5 hours after he left the hotel. It's immediately he leaves the hotel. There's another commotion outside. With who? Why? How did he end up getting stabbed? How did nobody else see him getting stabbed? It doesn't make sense to me, you know? And I wanted to come up with some theories on how he could have been stabbed, but I cannot think of how, because like, was this about a ghost, you know? Because how do you just come out of somewhere in broad daylight? Because this was not nighttime. This was still in broad daylight. The sun was still out. You're stabbed in broad daylight, and you're stabbed enough that it attracts a huge crowd of people. But from this crowd of people, nobody can say why you were stabbed. Nobody can say who you were fighting. Did he stab himself? But how are you going to stab yourself in the chest? Like, if he stabbed himself, then they could have found a murder weapon near his body, right? So I was confused every step of the way during this case. But I guess it's good for Charles because he was acquitted. But also the prosecution did a very poor job presenting this case, I feel. And I feel like the reason why they didn't care to investigate more is because they thought the case would be open and shut. You know, because somebody pointed fingers at Charles. You know, they thought, yeah, we have our person. If they're saying that you're the one who stabbed him, so we're just going to use the witness accounts and link you to the case and that's it. And because again, why would you not take that knife for analysis? What would it take you 5 days to come and photograph the crime scene? Like, and it doesn't even mention anywhere that the police tried to speak to anybody other than Charles's co-workers. Doesn't say anywhere that they tried and find, that they tried to find the Good Samaritan who had helped Timothy. It doesn't say anywhere that they tried to find anybody from that crowd to talk to them about what had happened. They did nothing. They got there. They were told Charles is the person. They believed that Charles is the person. They took Charles to court. And the judge was like, what the fuck is this? This means nothing, you know? And yeah, I really wonder how many people have been locked up because of gossip. You know, because somebody just said that they saw you doing something and the police did not care to do any follow-up, do investigation. They just took that and ran with it. 5 days. 5 whole days. No forensic analysis on the knife. That's crazy. Like, I've consumed hours and hours and hours and thousands of hours of true crime content. I have consumed so much true crime content, and never in all my years of professionally consuming true crime content have I come across a case where the police completely dismissed a piece of evidence just because, oh my, that was so stupid. If you ask me, that, and I know me, I'm not an investigator, but that just seems so stupid. It seems so dumb. It seems like such a... Anyway, I do really feel for Timothy's mom, because, like, what do you mean? What? Oh. I'm fine. And I'm very curious. If anybody knows anything about this story, I would be very curious to hear what kind of theories were floating around about who had actually killed Timothy. Because there's somebody who knows something and they're not saying it, or there's something that is being buried about this story. There's somebody who's paid to stifle the truth about this story, because a lot of it does not make sense. The chain of events does not even make sense, you know? Because Charles says that the police came to his place of business to start talking to him at 2 p.m. Dixon says that the first time he called the police was 6:30 p.m. One person says that Charles was found at the back of the hotel where the grass grew. Another person says that he was found just 5 meters from the hotel, Apo Tumbele. I don't know. I don't know. If anybody knows anything about this case, I would be very interested to hear what people think happened to Timothy, because I don't think, if anything, I think that this court document brought me more confusion than it did answers. But I do hope that wherever he is, because I've never been accused of murder, but I do assume that it's not an easy process to go through the Kenyan judicial system. So I do hope that if he is indeed innocent, Charles Kitonga is thriving in life, because how do you come back from spending 3 years of your life defending yourself for the murder of somebody if you did not kill them? That's crazy. And it's your boss who set you up, because it's the boss who called the police, it's the boss who went to, oh my god. Anyway, that's it. That's the story this week. Anyway, if you have made it to the end of the episode, thank you very much for hanging out with me for this few minutes. I do hope that you were not as confused as I was, but I was confused from start to finish. So I guess you guys are probably also confused from start to finish. I would like to hear your thoughts on this case. What do you think? Do you agree with how the police handled this investigation? Do you think they could have done anything? Because I think they could have done everything better in this case. But yeah, you can leave a comment down below. Let me know what you think about this case. Let me know if you think that Charles was actually innocent. And me, if I was Timothy's family, I would have sued everybody. I would have sued the police for how they handled this investigation. I would have sued Dixon and his hotel for, I don't even know, I would have found a reason to sue everybody. I would have sued everybody. But anyway, yes, let's end the episode here. You can follow me on socials, TikTok, Crimes and Cons KE, Instagram, Crime and Cons KE, Facebook, Crime and Consequence KE. I was told that in Kenya, Facebook is very important, because remember there was that one episode I was shitting on Facebook. I was told that Facebook is very important, so go follow me on Facebook. YouTube, I haven't started uploading on YouTube, but hopefully I will. This whole content creation thing is really not my forte. I'm a lazy girl, and yeah, I say that with my whole chest. I don't like doing a lot of things. If I could just sit down and record these episodes and then have somebody else do everything else, that is my ideal situation. But the researching and then the recording and then the editing, and then now I have to go to social media and do, because there's somebody who told me that, and there was a time I was actually trying to do like three TikTok videos a day. I can barely get through the one that I make right now. But follow me everywhere, please. Follow me everywhere, and I will see you guys. I will see you next week. Yeah. Okay, bye.